Welcome to Alive Experience, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwe. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal teaches the Word of God with accuracy and power, always leaving his audience empowered, challenged, and ready for change. As you listen, get ready to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
Lord, open my understanding this morning. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, I want to see what you want me to see. Your vision determines your possession. You cannot arrive at a future you don't see. You cannot possess what you don't see. Father, may I see clearer this morning. Father, may I see clearer this morning. Help me see what you are seeing in the people you gave me. Help me see what you are seeing in the community where you have assigned me. Help me see what you see in me. Help me see. Help me see beyond my weaknesses. Help me see past my failings and my shortcomings. Help me see what you saw when you chose me. We want to see this morning, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Father, thank you. As we are approaching the last leg of this groundbreaking, vision expanding series that you've given us. What a challenge. I see you literally calling us into the waters. Come, let's build a mega church. Come and join me. Come with me. Come and journey with me as I build that branch where you are, as I save many more right where you are. And Lord, this morning we are saying yes to the invitation. We will journey with you. We will walk with you. We will build a mega church with you, Father. You can count on us. For the lost soul of our communities, you can count on us. For the backslidden of our branches, you can count on us. For the down and outs of our areas where you have assigned us, we will go, we will preach, we will teach, and we will build a mega church in the name of Jesus Christ. Give Jesus a big hand of praise, and you may please be seated in his presence this morning. You can take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, joining you again this morning, this is Pastor Pascal. Such a blessing to be able to share the word of God with you yet again this morning. Like I keep saying, I do not take this for granted. I count myself very privileged that God in his infinite mercy chose me to be a voice in a little area for some people. I'm not the only voice. I'm just one of the voices. And I believe many voices will rise, and there will be a waterfall of voices spreading the holy word of the Father, getting the world ready for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, we are teaching on the last part of the series that the Lord gave us for the month of March. Please believe that things will not remain the way they are. Amen. In the branch where you are. Amen. Never despise the days of small beginnings. God always starts small, most of the time. It's rare to find God starting huge. Though your beginning were small, yet your later end shall greatly increase. That's why we are here. We are here to say, even though it is small today, reduce the music, even though it is small today, it will not always be small. It will not always be small. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that?
Yes.
There will be people sitting outside that branch where you are.
Amen.
There will be a first service. And then there will be a second service.
Amen.
And yet you will still have overflow.
Amen.
Then you will decide to start a third service.
Amen.
Then you will have an evening service.
Amen.
To accommodate the ever-growing need.
Amen.
Of a thirsty and hungry community.
Amen.
Trust me. The words of Jesus are still true today. The harvest truly is plentiful. The harvest is not scarce. The harvest is not small. The harvest truly is plentiful. There has never been a time where people need God than now. The harvest. Please believe the words of the Lord. Don't be discouraged by the state of the branch, the state of the church where you are. Believe the word of God. The harvest truly is plentiful. And basically what we are doing in this series is to trust God for laborers. People that will move with the Father. And rush in the harvest field to preserve the harvest from being spoiled. That's what we're trusting God for. That more and more people will realize that the harvest is ripe. That will come out of our freezers and our fridges. Where we have been gathering coldness. Especially because the winter is coming. It's time to wake up. More reasons why we must build not a small church. Not a struggling church. We must start small. We must start struggling. But we should not aim for that as our destination. You must believe God for a mega church where you are. Please, I'm talking to you, to everybody listening to me. I'm not saying you will do it. Jesus says he will build a church. But he needs a Peter to work with him. Most of the time, churches remain small because the Peters are not believing that Jesus can do something great with them. Please believe. The Lord told the man, do not fear. The man that came with his son, the child was dead and heard the report, the child is dead. The Lord told him and said, fear not, only believe. I'm saying to you this morning, fear not,
amen.
Only believe.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, fear not,
amen.
Only believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. We need to build a mega church because a mega church is a force you can no longer ignore. It becomes a nation within a nation. A mega church is a power you cannot ignore. When things are small, it's easy to ignore them. It's easy to despise them. It's easy to turn a blind eye on them. But when something has grown to a certain size, it is no more easy to behave as if it's not there. The church of Jesus in some areas in this world has been way too much ignored, despised. And part of the reason for it, apart from the satanic agenda that is always, you know, trying to discredit anything God is trying to do, apart from that agenda, there's also the reality of the smallness of the congregations. They are so small that most of the time a church will be in an area and people will not even know there's a church there. That's how small some of them are. You will go on outreach and tell people, I'm inviting you to church. You will say, they will say, where? You will describe, they say, I didn't know there's a church there. It's so small, nobody knows it's there. But once a church becomes mega, look, whether you want to know or you don't want to know, you will know it is there. You have no choice but to accept the reality something is in our midst. Matthew 21 verse 46, they wanted to arrest him, meaning Jesus. But they were afraid of the crowds who considered Jesus to be a prophet. Please understand, these people were not afraid that Jesus is the Son of God. They were not afraid that he has myriads of angels ready to fight for him. That was not the fear. They wanted to arrest Jesus, but the thing that made them to hold their horses, the crowds. They saw the people that were believing in Jesus and it scared them. They became scared not because they saw Jesus, but rather because they saw the followers of Jesus. And the followers of Jesus were a crowd. Now, I like the New King James Version. It says they feared the multitudes. They feared the multitudes. Multitudes naturally connotes fear. When a multitude of people are coming, even if they are coming in peace, but the fact that there are so many of them, it scares you. When armies want to do their parades, they don't bring 3-4 people. They bring all their forces. You see them parading on the road. Hundreds and thousands of soldiers wearing the same uniform, moving in the same pace. Don't tell me it will not affect you. It has a way of touching you. They feared the multitudes. The reason why people take the church for rights all the time, there are no multitudes. They know they can come. The landlord can just come and scatter everything. Anybody can just come and do anything. Because there's nothing. When a church remains small, that church will not be feared.
either by demons or even by people. We need to desire to become great because it brings influence. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar 14, verse 28, in a multitude of people is a king's honor. In the multitude of people is the king's honor. But in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. The downfall of a prince is in the lack of people. In the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. The last time I checked, Jesus is the King of Kings. So you are a king. We are all kings and princes in his house. And the Bible is now saying that when a king doesn't have a multitude around him, he doesn't have honor. When they say in the lack of people, not the lack of money, not the lack of chairs, the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. The downfall of a prince. In other words, nobody needs to fight you. You just need to be in a place where you are lacking people. You are lacking people and you are downfalling. You are falling down. You are falling down. As you want to continue entertaining smallness, understand when something is small. Do you know why China is respected today? Let me tell you something. You don't joke with China. That is the most populous nation in the world. There are many. And you don't joke when people are many. When a church has many people, even the government fears that church. Why? Because that church can change the course of the elections. There are churches in South Africa that if the government does not lobby around them constantly, they have the capacity of changing the whole thing. Because some of them are more than 1 million people. 2 million, 3 million. If their leader says one word, you will see how your election numbers will turn this way. So all the political leaders know when election time is getting close, they have to come and sit on the floor from time to time. They have to go and lobby, go to church, sing songs, go everywhere with these people to show faces. Why? Because a mega church is a force to you cannot ignore. Have you ever seen the president in that place where you are there? Have you seen him come there to lobby with you? Oh. They just grow. Keep growing. 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 Not that you are doing it to seek their attention. Please understand me very well. That's not what we are here for. But you reach a level where people can no longer ignore you are there. And that is important. Because as a church, you can get your road done just like that. You can get things done just like that. Because you have become a force. Are you listening to me? Number two. We must strive for the mega church because the glory of the end time church will be greater than the glory of the early church. The glory of the end time church, even the master of ceremony told Jesus that every man, they usually give first the good wine, right? And then when people are drunk, then they bring the poor one, because their taste buds are already affected. They can't really appreciate. Do you understand? Remember the wedding of Cana? Yeah. So the master of ceremony told Jesus that, he told the owner of the feast that, you know, everybody usually brings first the good wine. And when people have drunk and they are now kind of dizzy, then you start bringing the cheap wine. Because they can't really appreciate at that time what is going on anymore. But it says, but you have kept the best for last. Why? He was talking about the wine Jesus has just turned, the water Jesus has turned into wine. When they came to present him that one, he says, but this is the best, and you have kept the best for last. Meanwhile, normally people have the best first, and then they have the wrong last. But Jesus was telling us through that story that in his kingdom, the best is at the end. The best is always at the end. In your life, the best is at the end. At the end, it shall speak. At the end, it shall speak. Every man gave first the good one, but you have kept the best. If you think you have seen church, then you don't know Jesus very well. Anything your eyes have seen, is nothing compared to what Jesus is keeping as the best. Any big church you know, let me tell you something, whether you watch it on TV, wherever you saw it, let me tell you that that is still not Jesus' best. You have kept the best for last. The Bible says in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. We cannot say ABC used to be great. We can never have a better yesterday. It is a curse when you say the old days were better. In the kingdom of God, the old days can never be better, because you are going from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Proverbs 4 verse 18, but the path of the righteous is like a shine in the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter, not brighter and dimmer. So the latter glory of the church should be brighter, more glorious, more big, more effective than what we had before. If even the branch, the ministry you are involved with, if this ministry has ever had any form of glory at any level, and you have not surpassed it, you are not fulfilling the scriptures. Any form of glory ABC has had, which you are struggling to even reach, it tells us you are working against the scriptures. Because according to the agenda of heaven, God keeps the best for last. The glory of the later house must be more than the glory of the former house. It must be more. As you are settling for 30 people in a church that at its early stage were sitting 300 people, you have no vision. The glory of the later house must be more than the former. Anybody that is at ABC, you must never produce anything less than what Pastor Pascal has produced. Jesus himself told his disciples, the works I do, you shall do. But he didn't stop there. He says, greater works than this. Because that is how the kingdom of God works. You cannot stop where your leader has stopped. You must strive to go further. Otherwise, we cannot say that God is with us. Please change your mind about what you are doing. Whatever baton was handed over to me, I'm striving every day to ensure I push the glory a bit further. There are things I do today that those that passed the baton to me, they couldn't do. As you are coming, your desire should be anything my father, you are not competing with your father, but you are completing your father. It should be that people say, no, you are really the son of your father. We can see what you are doing. We can see that indeed. I mean, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they didn't think twice where the power was coming from. These people have been with Jesus. I see God's glory intensifying. Look, we have seen big things in the world. At some point, the greatest church in the world was in South Korea. And we could have thought to ourselves, this is it. God says, no. You have no clue what I'm having in store. Just 2 years ago, a young pastor from Nigeria put before all of us the glory dome. 100 people sitting there. It had never been heard before. The chair that we used to call the greatest church in the world could only sit 12,000 people at a time. Bishop Oyedepo came, 50,000. His son in the ministry, by the time that, I mean, Bishop Oyedepo is still alive. Bishop Oyedepo is trying to build a sanctuary that can sit 100,000 people, which I'm sure it will be completed soon. But his son already has it. His other son is building one that will sit 120. The glory of the later, if Bishop Oyedepo reached 50,000, and you are coming, you say you are a son, and you are doing 5,000, 3,000. You are a son, okay, but look, according to scriptures, you are struggling. A real son, Dr. Paul Enenje, one time, 100,000. And I don't think the guy is even 6 years old yet. Not even 6 years old yet. Already 100,000 people. Our problem is Satan has deceived us. We settle too quick, too early for nothing. There's a move that God wants to start at ABC. There's something God is about to do in this ministry where young men and young women will start churches, and their churches will grow, and their churches will be so mega that people will ask, what in the world is going on? No, we understand the scriptures. We have aligned ourselves with the scriptures. If you align with the scriptures, what the scriptures promise will happen to you. It will happen to you. It will happen to you. Are you listening to me? This morning, let's talk about my last thing. Today's teaching, God uses rejected people. Wow. Last Sunday, I showed you that God builds the mega church with ordinary people. And this morning, I want to show you that God builds the mega church with rejected people. Rejected people. They are the ones the Father goes behind, picking them up. Picking up these people. I don't know whether you've watched these guys that do art with recycling materials. The bottles you throw away, the clothes you throw away, they go behind and they collect all of that. Create art and sell it in millions of rands, using things people threw away. They are learning from God Himself. God uses rejected people. I pray that this message will challenge you. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The stone the builders, the people that were trying to get something going, they look at this stone and say, ah, no, this cannot do anything. They rejected it. Think about it. People are trying to build a skyscraper, and they have this brick, and they feel this is a useless brick. They throw it away, and they are continuing. But by the time they realize, they turn back, they realize that the brick they threw away is the brick that will sustain the whole structure. The stone the builders rejected has become. You are becoming something. This morning, I'm talking to people life has rejected. I'm talking to people other people have rejected. People have made you feel there's nothing about you. And you've believed them. But God has sent me to tell you, you are actually the person He is coming for. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. So the stone the builders rejected, then Peter is telling you, you are a living stone. So you are a stone. In fact, that is the revelation that God used on Peter. I say to you that you are Peter, and on this stone, I will build my church. You are a stone. You are a living stone. Which means, when you are a living stone, you see, back in the day, they didn't have bricks. So today, you are going to say, you are a brick. You are a living brick. Because when you say you are a stone, you are thinking about this, just this big thing lying somewhere there. No. Back in the day, they didn't have really bricks. They were building with stones. I want to show you a couple of people that God used and were first rejected. Number one, Moses. Moses was rejected by his people. Acts chapter 7 verse 35. This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God Himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. Moses was asked by the Israelites, "Who made you ruler over us?" When he tried to separate two of them that were fighting. And the Bible says that was a rejection. They were rejecting him as the leader. Like, who appointed you to pastor us? But the Bible says it is the same Moses that God sent back to them. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. Genesis 37 verse 8. His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and what he had said. So you have Moses, who appointed you to lead us.
You have Joseph. Will you actually... And it happened exactly like that. You see, all these people I'm reading to you, they were rejected first. But God brought them in. And the same people that had rejected them started following them. The very same brothers of Joseph later came and bowed down. The people who were saying, "Are you intending to rule us?" Saul was rejected. 1 Samuel 10:27. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no present. But he held his peace. How can this man save us? How can this lady save us? How can this guy lead us? Who do you think you are? David was rejected by his family. Psalm 27 verse 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. The boy was so rejected that there was a promotion opportunity in the family, and they didn't think he should be part of the interviews. God had to force him in. He was rejected. Some people even believe that David was not really a biological son of the mother of, like it seems like Jesse had something going with somebody else. And it's from that woman that David came. So he was like the black sheep of the family. They needed to hide him all the time. When there are real meetings, they don't want him there. How can you be saying you anoint my head in the presence of my enemies? But when we read, we see that you are anointed in the presence of your brothers. But they say, you anoint my head in the presence of my enemies. But these people were his enemies. Though they were his brothers. You anoint my head in the presence of my enemies. David was rejected by his family. One of the hardest rejections to deal with is a rejection from your own siblings. Rejection from your own father. Because here, he didn't say even his brothers, he called them enemies. But he says, though my father and my mother forsake me. Why will he say that if he didn't feel it? There's somebody watching me this morning. Your father has rejected you. You don't know where he is. And he is not bothered. Your mother has rejected you also. I have met so many young South Africans. They don't know who is their father. They don't know who is their mother. Yet both parents are alive. Please be encouraged this morning. Your captain is David. Though my father and my mother reject me, the Lord will receive me. The Lord will receive me. Paul was rejected by the Jews. Acts chapter 18, verse 5 to 6. And after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed and insulted him, Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said, "Your blood is upon your own heads. I am innocent. From now, I will go preach to the Gentiles." You see,
Paul didn't become the apostle of the Gentiles by choice only. Do you understand? He tried to preach to the Jews. They rejected him. They opposed. Everywhere you say, you hear Paul says, I was beaten this number of times. No, it's not like robbers doing it to him. It is Jewish people doing it to him. These people oppose him to his thief. But the blessedness of opposition and rejection sometimes is that rejection, many a times, is redirection. When you are rejected, you might really think something is wrong with you. But most of the time, you are not being rejected. You are being redirected. Paul was trying to go minister to Jewish people, but God never intended for him to minister to Jewish people. And he kept going to them. The Bible says Paul spent his time trying to reason with these people. They insulted him. So he shook off his clothes on them like this. Your blood is on your head. I'm going to the Gentiles. The moment he arrived at the Gentiles, they said the gods have come to us in the form of man. When you hear Macedonia, all these places where Paul went to, they are Gentiles nations. Paul is not popular in Israel at all. There's no Jewish man that has the name Paul. None of them. They hate him until today. It is us, the Gentiles, that have accepted Paul. He is our apostle. You understand? So we name our children Paul all the time. That's no problem. But in Israel, they don't want him. They're saying that he's one of the major reasons why many Jewish people are no more following the Judaism. Paul, his revelations, they scattered the whole thing. Are you listening to me? So some of the rejections you are going through, you try to date this person and they don't want you. And your heart is broken. What you don't know is that that is not rejection. It's redirection. God is directing you to the right person. You try selling this area, it doesn't work. And now you are sitting at home crying. Nothing. No. You try to go to this house, they don't want you. Every time you go there, they insult you. And you start being discouraged. No, you are not understanding how God's work. Many times, rejection is redirection. Just keep moving. You try to invite this one. No, don't stay there. Move. Him chasing you away will lead you to the right person that God has been trying to get into this whole thing. The Lord Jesus was also rejected bitterly. John 1:11, he came to his own people and even they rejected him. The King James says he came to his own did not receive him. To be rejected, I mean, people don't accept you. Okay? They don't accept you. And rejection is one of the most painful feelings to experience in the world. I tell you, it deals with us. When you are rejected, it's not a nice feeling. And I guess that's why people, not wanting to go through such a feeling again, they just withdraw. They just start playing low. They don't want to get involved. Because they tasted the bitterness of rejection before. Be encouraged this morning. Every great man of God you see today was rejected before. I showed you Moses. I showed you Joseph. I showed you David. I showed you Saul. I showed you Paul. And I'm showing you Jesus. And a disciple is not greater than his master. If God was rejected himself, and we reject God all the time, why do you think that you will not be rejected? And why do you get all puffed up when you are being rejected by some people who don't want to come to church when you are inviting them to church? It's part of the job. Rejection is part of ministry. Isaiah 53 verse 3. He was despised and rejected by mankind. Despised and this is Jesus. Despised. Rejected. Any of you that has tried to go for an outreach, you will know what it means to be despised. When you try to walk that street, even a small boy that you can take to school the whole year and you don't feel it, the way he will despise you. And you will feel it. Yet he can do nothing for you. But he will, the way they look at you, you are telling them about you, and they are okay. You ask yourself, this one, I don't even know whether he bathed for the past 3 days. I'm standing before you, inviting you to church, and you are making it look like if you come, it's such a privilege that you have given me. You will feel despisement. You will feel rejection. Some people, you try to stop them, they don't even stop. And it hits you deep inside. You see, if you've never gone for outreach, you don't know what I'm talking about. Those of you that are always in the church, you are playing it safe. You can never experience true ministry. You will never know what it means to serve God. Every great man of God that served God, I'm showing you, they were all rejected first. That same community where people reject you, a day is coming. That same community, when you enter, people will be standing on the street and they're saying, Muruti, Mamuruti, Mamuruti, Mamuruti. The same community. Yes, listen to me. You must be rejected first before you can be accepted. It's a principle of ministry. You will be first rejected before you will be accepted. Now, those of you who want to be accepted from day one, you cannot do well. You will not do well. And I want you to do well. That's why I'm teaching you that God works with rejected things. Because rejection is part of ministry. And if you don't want to be rejected, you might not do well in ministry. Jesus is being despised and rejected. A man of suffering, familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces. Like when Jesus is coming, people are hiding their faces. They don't want to see him. Imagine the feeling. People like it's like you are a shameful thing. I came to encourage you this morning. If you've been feeling that way, if you've been going through such experiences, don't think there's something wrong with you. That is how it is. It's actually a proof that you are doing the work of ministry. It is a proof that you are on the right track. Those of you that have never been rejected, everybody seems to like you, something is wrong with you. Because there's no way everybody can like you. Even Satan, not everybody likes him. Nobody ever, you cannot be a person everybody likes you. But you want everybody to like you. You want to be friends with everybody. You want to walk on the street and people are just saying, hello, hello, hello. You have come to another world. Maybe you should go to Venus or to Mars. Maybe there you will have that treatment. But here on earth, it is not like that, my friend. Here on earth, you will be despised. You will be rejected. You will show love, but people will give you hate. You will pray for people and then they will still leave. You will give them testimony for many, many weeks. But by the time they clear, they will never even say goodbye to you. And you will feel the heat of that thing, I tell you. You will feel the heat of that thing. But when you are going through those things, tell yourself, it's part of the package. It's part of the package. It's supposed to happen. And I'm glad God has found me worthy to go through this little suffering for his glory. Don't be ashamed of your rejection. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Jesus. As I close, it is one thing to be rejected by people. It is another thing to reject yourself. And you see, this one we call it self-rejection. And sometimes, that rejection from the world is designed to produce and create self-rejection. That you get so rejected that you start rejecting yourself. You don't need anybody to reject you anymore. You are a working rejection. You're like, you reject yourself. When you have reached that level, Satan's job is done. Satan will send people your way to make you feel bad about yourself, to make you feel like a loser, but ultimately is to cause you to be trained so that you can start doing it on you by yourself. Self-rejection. What is self-rejection? Self-rejection is a form of self-sabotage or self-sabotage. You know what is a sabotage? That you destroy something. You destroy. When you say that, you have sabotaged a plan. You have messed it up. Self-rejection is self-sabotage. Like you are spoiling yourself, not in a good way, in a very bad way. Self-spoiling. Self-abuse. Self-destruction. That is what self-rejection is. Number two, self-rejection is convincing yourself that you are not good enough. Like you convince yourself. You talk to yourself and you tell yourself, look, you can't do it. You are not good enough. You don't have what it takes. Convincing yourself that you will not do well in it. Self-rejection causes you to disqualify yourself. Causes you to stay at the same level. You know, these people that never grow. One of the reasons why they never grow, they have self-rejection. They don't believe they can do better. They don't believe something great can happen from their lives. So they always are the same level. Every year, same level. It is not just laziness. It is also self-rejection. Because the person is no more challenging himself to grow. The person, a lot of us are sitting in the church and we don't even know that we are suffering from self-rejection. You have rejected the possibilities of God making something great out of your life. You want us to believe that you are just a good Christian that comes to church on Sunday morning. No. Many times God has tried to call you, but you are rejecting it because Satan has convinced you that you cannot do the job. Many of you that are watching me this morning, Satan has convinced you that you are too sinful, you are too this, you are too that, you cannot do it, and you are coming to sit there every day wearing nice clothes, looking as if you are just a holy person that loves God, but deep down, you are living in disobedience. You are living in disobedience, and this disobedience is fueled by self-rejection. Self-rejection causes us to miss and turn down great opportunities. We miss opportunities and we turn down great opportunities that are continuously coming our way. But there's something in us that tells us you can't. You will not make it. You will fail. And because of those words, we pull out. We pull out. Self-rejection. We are very much aware of the rejection that comes from people. But are you aware of the rejection that comes from yourself? The one you impose on yourself? It is not only people who rejected Moses. Moses rejected himself. Moses suffered from world rejection and self-rejection. In Exodus 4 verse 13, Moses actually is asking God to choose somebody else to do the job. But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send anyone else. Send somebody else." A person that struggles from self-rejection always feels somebody else should do the job. When you struggle from self-rejection, you always feel sister so-and-so is better fitted to fulfill this task than me. You will even be doing the job, but the moment you see her, your heart, I mean, you say, "Hey, please just come and take over." I mean, you are the right person. You will always feel that, no, brother so-and-so could be doing a better job. You will be in your little corner, doing something, and the angels are cheering you up. And then a thought will cross your mind, but you are not doing it like so-and-so. And before you know it, the whole thing is down. Lord, send somebody else. God says that you are the person I want to use. No, Lord, I'm not the right person. Send somebody else. Moses rejected himself and he chose that he is advancing God. Do you believe Moses? Moses who brought down the entire economy of Egypt. Moses who opened the Red Sea. Moses who brought water from the rock. Moses who brought manna from the heavens. Is the same Moses when God is calling him to do those things. Moses was saying to God, "Choose somebody else. I cannot do it." And a lot of you don't know what God can do with you. And you are busy advising God, choose somebody else. Choose another person. I'm not the right person for this thing you want me to do. Choose somebody else. Because says it is you I have chosen. Don't you realize that I already knew all these people? I've come to you. But we are having a problem of self-rejection. Be healed from that thing. Amen. Moses felt he can't do God's work because he doesn't know how to talk. Exodus 4:10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord again. "Oh Lord, I am not very good with words. I have never been. And I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." He's giving reasons why he can't be the person. Moses. Then Moses is feeling that nobody will believe him. Exodus 4 verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me? Or listen to me? And say the Lord did not appear to you? What if I start the cell and nobody comes? What if I invite them and they don't come? What if I call them and they don't answer?" What if they don't believe in me? Those are the... You see the mighty Moses who wrote 3 books of the Old Testament? This is where Moses is coming from. This is Moses for you. If God was able to lift Moses above all these things, and Moses still fulfilled the call of God on his life, you will fulfill the call of God that is on your life. Amen. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Amen. There are many things that I want to share with you, but because of time, Gideon fell. He was from the wrong family. Because of that, he rejected himself. Judges 6 verse 15. But Lord, Gideon replied, "How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh." Then Gideon felt he was a nobody in his own family. He says, "And I am the least in my entire family." But that's the same man God used only with 300 people. delivered an entire country. What was the problem? He rejected himself because of his background, because of his own position in the family. You know, I can't. And these are the things that are seated in your heart. Sometimes you don't even know they are there. But they are the ones that are responsible for you behaving the way you do. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Jeremiah 1:6. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. I can't do it. I'm too young. Who will believe me? Who will take me seriously? I'm too young. I'm too young. Verse 7, but the Lord said to him, do not say, I am too young. Don't say that. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. It's like God is saying to you this morning, stop saying you are too young. Go where I send you and say what I ask you to say. And you will see my glory. You will see my glory. A lot of us reject ourselves. I cannot be a shepherd. I'm too young. I'm a small boy. When Samuel was called by God, the Bible says, and Eli said to the boy. So Eli was not even young. He was a boy. And Eli said to the boy. Oh, come on. Abraham felt he was too old. You see, Jeremiah feels he's too young. Abraham is feeling he's too old. He can't do it. My time has passed. Amuruti, I hear these messages you are preaching, but No. I think if you had come when I was younger, you know, I could have done something, but at this stage of my life, my time has passed. The juices are finished. Genesis 17, verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? I mean, he laughed. Ah, what a joke. But I'm pleased to announce to you that child was born from Abraham and Sarah, just the way God said. And can I tell you this morning, if you can trust God, whatever God is telling you will happen exactly the way He told you it will happen. A lot of you have, you know, self-rejected yourself because you are women. Some reject themselves. They say, I'm too young. Some say, I'm too old. Some say, I'm a woman. How can I do anything? How can a woman do anything? This is a problem because the churches are filled of women. And a lot of women don't believe they can do anything. Many women disqualify themselves not because they don't have the skill or the call of God on their life, but because of their gender. I'm a woman. What can I do? They will say things that could be changed in the church, but they will not rise up to do it. I'm a woman. I cannot do anything. John chapter 4, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Say with me, mega church. Many, many of the people in that town believed in Jesus. Not because of James, not because of Peter. And they were there. They had gone there to buy food. They went to the same town to buy food. They did not come with any convert. One woman who had just finished committing adultery had one message, entered the same town, brought the whole city out. Because of the woman's testimony. Many believed because of a woman's message. A testimony is a message. A testimony is a preaching. A testimony is a teaching. So many people believe because of the teaching, the preaching of a woman. And you are there saying to yourself, I'm a woman. What can I do? You've disqualified yourself. I thank God this woman didn't do it. And because she didn't disqualify herself, she didn't say, do you know that Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ Jesus. There is neither male nor female. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, the Holy Ghost doesn't say, ah, you are a woman. Let the Holy, well, let the female Holy Ghost go there. And let the male Holy Ghost go there. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the same Holy Ghost. And the work of God is done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you have the Holy Ghost. Why are you saying I'm a woman? A time is coming in this church where women will start churches. Women will be leading pastors. Women will go to communities and they will start churches. They will rise. They will start believing the word I'm teaching. They will believe that God has called them. And a lot of you keep hearing the call of God on you. It's boiling in you. And you can sense that you can do something. But you keep saying, I'm a woman. I'm a woman. I'm a woman. I'm a woman. You can feel. Sometimes the call of God in your life is even stronger than the call of God in your brother. You can feel God is dealing with you, man. When you open your Bible, that your whole heaven is open. Every night, you don't have rest. You keep feeling, I must do something. I must do something. But I'm a woman. I'm just a woman. You are not just a woman. You are an anointed servant of God. You are chosen, appointed, anointed, and established by God. Break out of that cage that Satan wants to keep you inside. Thank God for this Samaritan woman who didn't allow somebody to come and remind her she's a woman. As soon as she jumped, Jesus said, you go. Jesus didn't say, hey, why are you going? Why are you going? Come back. Don't forget you are a woman. I was just ministering to you. Take your jar of water and go home. And make sure you leave other women's men alone. Other women's husband alone. Don't you know that Jesus, when she took off, Jesus knew where she was going. He didn't stop her. He said, you go, girl. You go. I'm waiting here. And I'm saying to all my ABC girls, you go, girl. Push it. Build it. Do it. If we have to wait for these brothers, we might never build a mega church. I'm telling you right now. It's time for the girls to rise up and to start doing something for God. Hallelujah. And lastly,
Many disqualify themselves because they have a job. They have a secular job. And they're saying, hey, you know, Pastor, I would have loved to serve God. When you preach, I feel something. Then my problem, I don't have time. I have a very demanding job. This job is the reason why I cannot serve God. Listen to me. I am your captain, me, standing before you. I have been working for 14 years, almost this year, building the church while having a secular job. We call it lay ministry. I will teach you about it sometimes. As you see me standing here, you might be thinking that I just wake up every night, I pray every night and every day. No. I go to a secular job. Sometimes the whole week, sometimes 8 days in a row. But here am I, standing before you. Many Sundays after I preach to you, I'll finish preaching, I rush to work. I told myself, nothing is going to stop me from fulfilling the plan of God for my life. Brother, you don't work 24 hours. Don't try to deceive us. We are all in there. You don't work for 24 hours. Some of you work for 8 hours. A day has 24 hours. You work 8 hours. How many hours are left? 16 hours are left. Okay, you sleep maybe 6 hours. How many hours are left? 10 hours are left. You want to tell me that you work for 8 hours? Okay, 1 hour lunch, 9 hours. Okay, going and coming, that's another hour, 10 hours. You are left with 14. You sleep for 6. You are left with how many? 8 hours. You want to tell me you cannot do anything for God with 8 hours that you have every day? I don't think so. You don't work for 24 hours. You have just chosen to use your extra time on useless things. That's all. Don't say you don't have time. You do have time. There's no job that employs you for 24 hours. Decide today, I will use my time wisely. Having a job is not an excuse to not working for God. I am a living proof. All the shepherds that are with me are a living proof. We all have jobs and we are also serving God. What is your excuse? What is your excuse? I've got people that are in schools and they are serving God. What is your excuse? What is your excuse? Just understand you are being deceived. And break out of that deception. Some of you are just sitting there and you go home, there's nothing you are doing. You are doing nothing. You are just sleeping and watching TV. Why not use that time to serve God? Why not use that time to serve God? Why not use that time to serve God? You are rejecting yourself from the ministry because you have a secular job. You are disqualifying yourself. You are rejecting yourself from the ministry because you are young. You are rejecting yourself from the ministry because you are a woman. You are rejecting yourself from the ministry. What else? Because you are old. But I came to show you this morning. You can serve God. You can. God can never ask you to do something that is beyond your capacity. If you seek Him well, you will see it's possible. This mega church must be built. And it will be built with you, not without you. I don't want you to ever say, oh, no one told me. I'm telling you now. I'm showing you the ways. If you have a job, your job is never an excuse to not work for God. Because your pastor has a job and he's working for God. I don't just have a job. I have a wife. I have kids. I have all kinds of things. But I have never allowed any of that to stop me from serving God. What are you allowing in your life currently to stop you from building the church? Last week I spoke about your personal life, sin and all those things. Please, if you missed last week's message, go on YouTube and look for my message entitled God Uses Ordinary People. You will learn a lot about the failings of men and how God bypasses the failings of men to still use men. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Praise God. This morning I'm challenging you. Stop disqualifying yourself. Stop judging and passing a negative verdict on yourself. You qualify. The Bible says God qualifies us. He's the one who chose us and appointed us. We didn't appoint ourselves. So why are you disappointing yourself? You didn't appoint yourself. He appointed you. He said, you come. That's why in your family you are the one who is here. He chose you. He chose you. Why are you rejecting yourself? You are accepted in the beloved. God loves you. God believes that something great will come out of you. Oh, I have learned to believe what God believes about me. Because I used to be my number one critic. And some of us are like that, especially the perfectionist. You will be bombarding yourself, scattering yourself. God said, look, I knew you have all these problems, but I still chose you. Why can't you accept you? Accept yourself. God will help you. God knows you are a woman. He gave you all those women things you have. But He can use you with them. Moses told him, I don't know how to talk. You know what God told him? Who created the mouth? Who gave people a speech? Is it not me? Who are you talking to? You are saying to God, I'm a woman. God is asking you, who created the breast? Who created these things? Is it not me? You are coming to tell me something as if it's a new information. Like, hey, Lord, I'm sure you don't know this type of... This is called woman. You know, you don't know this. That's why you are... Look, this is woman. This woman. Because who created those things that you are showing me? Please gather yourself and come and work here. Praise God. Stand on your feet and just thank God that nothing in you, around you, on you, behind you will have the capacity to stop the will of God from happening in your life. Open your mouth and begin to thank Him right now. Please speak with authority that nothing shall separate you from the plan of God for your life. I refuse to allow anything to continue messing up with my mind. What has been the excuse? Reject it this morning. Speak against it this morning. I will fulfill the plan of God for my life. I will become what God says I shall become. I will not settle for less. I will do more like Jesus. I will be more like Jesus. I refuse less. Anything Satan is trying to use to block my ministry, it will be used to propel my ministry to the higher level. Satan is telling you are a woman. Being a woman is the reason why you will do well. Satan is telling you are too young. Being too young is the reason why you will do well. Satan is saying you are old. Being old is the reason why you will do well. Satan is saying you have a job, you don't have time. Having a job is the reason why you will do well. Oh. Shalos ke preshike pelemande. Enterprezuka pelemandola vela. Yeke zamele gere malogande. J'adore ce que prédique à tes mandements. Receive your freedom this morning. Receive your deliverance this morning. Stop rejecting yourself. Begin to accept yourself. Begin to celebrate yourself. Oh! There's nothing wrong. There's just a wrong voice speaking. But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. People are being healed this morning. People are being reinstated in their calling this morning. I speak as a voice of a prophet and I decree and declare many of you are recuperating. You are getting restoration of the calling of God upon your life. The things that Satan was intending to steal from you, the thief came to steal, kill and destroy. But this morning, this word is bringing restoration in your spirit in the name of Jesus. I speak against fear. I speak against the spirit of fear that has crippled us. I bind it in the name of Jesus. The Bozas are rising. Gideons are rising. Moseses are rising. Davids are rising. Jeremiah's are rising. Oh, Abraham's are rising. And Samaritan women are rising. Quickly this morning, if you are not born again, I want to pray for you. What I talk about this morning will have no meaning if you don't give your life to Jesus. Right now you are saying, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want to be born again. I would like to help you. At the count of three, I'm asking you to raise your right hand high so I can pray for you and help you. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. I want to be born again. God bless you. God bless all of you. Please take your hands down. Now you are already born again. But this morning, you want to recommit your life to Jesus. Saying, Pastor, I've messed up. I've been rejecting myself, talking down on myself. Well, this morning I want to pray for you. I want to help you. At the count of three, you raise your right hand and we pray together. One, two, three. Lift it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Please drop us a comment in the comment section to tell us how this message has helped you. Remember also to subscribe to receive notifications on our latest sermons. You can also watch Pastor Pascal live every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. on our church Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ. Or you can worship with us live in one of our branches in Sun City, Macharora, Padzima, Mukwase, Lidach, Rustenburg, and beyond. Have a blessed day, and remember, we are alive to give life.